The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you to another edition of Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com. I'm your host, Bob Vecchio, thanking you for tuning in each and every week to find out about the amazing programs that our kids are tackling in our schools across Long Island. This week, it's a special issues segment, and the issue has to do with nutrition, healthy eating, childhood obesity, and its long-term impacts. And we're going to talk with a doctor who's also specializing in nutrition, Dr. Lynn O'Connor. Welcome to Spotlight on Long Island Schools.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Dr. O'Connor, we were talking off the air. This show focuses on schools and school-aged children and what they do and some of the programs they're involved in. And nowadays, kids and families are extremely busy. So some of the things that we've seen, and we see some of the long-term impacts and some of the immediate impacts with juvenile diabetes, but childhood obesity, you know, the obesity situation in America is something that is grown over the years, and it's been around for a while. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. So today we'll talk about some of the tips and tricks, I hope. But, you know, just give us an overview of nutrition from an early age, why it's so important.
It's extremely important from an early age to make sure that your child develops healthy eating habits. Because as you just alluded to, we are in an obesity epidemic. There are over 93 million American adults who are obese, and we've got over 13.7 million children who are obese, and this is an absolute epidemic. The problem with the childhood obesity and adult obesity is that this, when you develop it as a child, it follows you into adulthood. And then when you're looking at it as an adulthood, that's when we have significant issues with chronic diseases. More than half of all American adults have some diet-related disease, whether it's cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, whether they're overweight, there's obesity. And those issues can affect the long-term health, and especially if you develop them as a child and take them into adulthood, it's even greater risk.
Right. And what are some of the things that you would say to parents? You know, some people might have visions, well, not in my household, not in my community, not, you know, this is something that, you know, crosses all boundaries, crosses all genders, all races, all socioeconomic situations. Do genetics play a role sometimes?
Genetics absolutely play a role in that. You have issues where there's personal behaviors, your community that affects you, as well as genetics. But even if you do have a genetic issue in the family, there are certain ways that you can look at this, approach the problem to counteract that. It's really your behavior. It's really what you're eating. If the calories that you're taking in, whether or not there's sugary, high-fat foods, the fried foods, and whether or not kids and adults have access to good, healthy food. And it really has to do with how you're brought up, what you're exposed to, your community, children in community centers, child care centers, and schools, what food's available to them, and the choices that they make can really impact that. So if there is a genetic component, there's so many other factors that can play a role in whether or not a child develops childhood obesity.
So we alluded to it earlier. People tend to be extremely busy nowadays, extremely jam-packed schedules. You know, the child comes home from school, mom and dad might be working or not, and right after school, they're off to some club, some sport, some dance, or whatever it is, activity after activity. And it seems like we've gotten away from family dinner hour, right?
Yes.
And family dinner hour used to be a big deal. And now everything's on the go. So how do you coach people that might be dealing with nutritional issues that have that jam-packed schedule? What are some of the tips and tricks for the busy mom and dads to make sure that their kids are still eating right, but, you know, still not depriving them of all these clubs and activities that they're in?
You're talking about my household. I mean, we were doing so many things, and so many other households are there, especially with multiple children. One's going to soccer, one's going to lacrosse, one's going to basketball practice. And nowadays you have two working parents, or at least you may even have many single parent households.
Right.
So it's very difficult to have that unified sit-down dinner like we used to. I mean, if there's one day a week, maybe Sunday nights, that you can at least try to have that dinner, that's important because it helps to reconnect with the family. It helps to keep in touch with each other's lives.
Sure.
But if you're not able to do that, one of the most important things is if you can pre-plan your meals. And if you can shop ahead of time and cook ahead of time.
And we're not talking pre-planned, pre-packaged meals, right?
Exactly. Yeah, definitely not, because those are loaded with a lot of sugar, high fat.
It's not pre-planned to take out the thing and stick it in the micro and
exactly.
then stick it in Tupperware.
No, that means make sure that you do some meal planning and that you cook. At least what I do in my household is I try to make everything at least on Sunday night. And hopefully that'll take us through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday nights we'll usually, you know, either go out or we'll cook something else. But it's not that imperative because we're not doing anything the next day on Saturday.
Right.
So if you can plan your meals, if you can cook ahead of time, and you can even put them in a little Tupperware. So certain meals for certain children, then you can grab it, put it, pop it in the microwave. It's a healthier meal. And they're able to eat, and if their parents are not there.
Right. And, you know, the crock pot is very busy in my household as far as the proteins go and some of the soups and things like that. What are some of the things that you would say for that busy, active family, you know, some of those balanced meals? What are some of the components of a nutritious meal, and what should the target calorie be, you know, intake for the day, say for, you know, a young teen or somebody in adolescence?
Well, you know, you always talk about the 2000 calorie diet, but if you're looking at a young teen who's, you know, active, who's working out and who's on a team and who's exercising, you just really need to look at what the child's actual health, you know, height and weight is, and you can get a body mass index. You know, if you're over 30, that's when you're looking at obesity. When you're of 25, that's when you're looking at overweight. And most children will eat what you give them. And most children...
They might fight you for it, you know. I used to give my mother fits about the peas.
Exactly. But, you know, what you have to do is really eat the rainbow. I mean, you can have a good portion of a lean meat, such as a salmon or chicken. And if you're having and half your plate should be vegetables. And they don't have to be the nasty, disgusting vegetables that the kids don't like. But, I mean, you know, you can saute them in healthy with broccoli and carrots and cauliflower and just make it something appetizing that kids are going to want to eat. But the thing is, make sure that you really shop the rainbow. So you've got the green leafy vegetables, you got the orange carrots, you got the red cabbage, you know, you've got if you're going to have a starch, have potatoes. Potatoes actually get a really bad rap, but if they're not slathered in bacon and cheese and sour cream, then it's a good side.
Or big, thick, globby gravy. That's
not
good either.
No, not good at all. I mean, even corn. I mean, it's the summer. You can have corn as well,
so
too.
So baked or mashed, which is better for you?
Baked is fine.
Right.
Baked is fine.
Yeah.
Baked is absolutely fine. And you just, but when you put the mashed potatoes in, there's so many ways. I actually, instead of having baked potatoes, I had mashed cauliflower.
Yeah. And I've had that a few times.
Yeah,
and it really has the same texture as mashed potatoes.
Ironically
enough, when I was a child, to get me to eat vegetables, it was mashed potatoes mixing the veggies into the potatoes.
Exactly.
Believe it or not.
There are so many tips and tricks that you can to just mix those vegetables in, especially for the picky eaters in the family. If, like, you're making lasagna, throw some spinach in there. If you're making an omelet, throw some spinach in there. If you're making a smoothie, my God, you can hide so much stuff in a smoothie and the kids will never know.
Yeah.
But it's important to try and make sure you get at least a good, healthy serving in there.
What are some of the things to stay away from with salads? Because salads could be extremely good and then people could really just blow them up.
You can blow your entire diet on a salad. I mean, it's amazing when you go into the restaurant and you're looking on the menu and it's 1,400.
The lighter side.
Yeah, the lighter side, exactly. And you've got 1,500 calories for a salad.
Right.
So you want to stay away from those thick, creamy dressings. They're loaded with calories. The croutons that's just bread.
Right.
It's basically just fried bread. And the candied walnuts, the candied apples, those things are just, they're loaded with calories. And if you're going to get a salad, make sure you have like a kale salad or a spinach salad or a mixed greens. The iceberg lettuce is basically, there's no nutritional.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my mom still dices it up and thinks she's doing us
a favor. That's not a salad.
But my wife, on the other hand, it's big into the mixed greens and the baby's spinach and
things like that. The arugula, and there's so many things that you can put in there, and there's so many different healthy dressings. The light balsamic vinaigrette, the lighter dressings are what you want to have, and that's
my
important.
My personal favorite happens to be Good Seasons Italian dressing with the oil and vinegar. I don't know how good that works.
Mine is the light balsamic vinaigrette. It's Newman's own.
That's good stuff. So see, Newman just got a free ad right
there. Yeah, how about that?
When people are thinking of vegetables, are there any taboo vegetables to try to stay away from?
You know, there really aren't any taboo vegetables that you take. Vegetables are absolutely wonderful. It's just what you like. I mean, there are some cruciferous vegetables like the broccoli and the cauliflower that a lot of my patients talk about give them gas.
Right.
But I'd rather them eat them and then take maybe some Gassix or Fazime. But when you're eating the vegetables, the rainbow is what you want to do. You want to make sure you've got green leafy vegetables, carrots.
Yeah. Eat the rainbow.
Eat the rainbow.
My mother always made
vegetables.
Sure there was colors on the plate.
Colors on the plate. The
corn
red tomatoes.
With almost every meal, I got to tell you. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Lynn O'Connor and good nutrition, healthy eating for our kids and for us too, and what an assessment might look like when we come back. LI News Radio, Spotlight on Long Island Schools.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And we'd like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Bob Vecchio continuing our conversation with Dr. Lynn O'Connor. She is an MD and specializes in nutrition, colon rectal prevention, and cancer, things like that. She's a consultant, lecturer, author, colorectal specialist. For more information about Dr. Lynn O'Connor and some of the services with her group, colon and rectal surgery of newyork.com. Okay. And you can also give a call at 631-350-6277. Offices are located in Huntington, Rockville Center, and Amityville. So you're pretty well positioned across some parts of Long Island. So 631-350-6277. And we've been focusing a lot on kids and nutrition because this is a school-oriented show. And we were talking, you know, about that family on the go, right? Go, 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 go. And my personal opinion, you know, sometimes it's good to slow down. And I think, you know, sitting down to prepare the meal and eat the rainbow. I mean, and we're not talking about Skittles. We're talking about the colors on the plate. You know, spending time together as a family to teach the good habits for long-term eating. What are some of the other things that families should look to get themselves involved with their kids as a family unit to help build that pattern and that normalcy of this is what you do to eat right?
You know, if you can start them out at an early age, shopping and cooking together. If you can take the kids with you to shop and cook, that is a wonderful opportunity for an education in terms of what you should be buying, how you should shop in the supermarket, what items that you're looking for, and then take them home and you can teach them how to properly prepare that health in a very healthy manner. So instead of frying the chicken, you can bake the chicken.
Yeah.
You know, you can steam the vegetables. And once children have a buy-in and they feel that the sense of ownership, they've shopped for it, they've cooked it, they've prepared it, they're eating it, and that really it brings it home to them and it makes it second nature. So when they're going shopping and they're thinking of things and they're out, they're going to actually start picking some of the healthier
items. And you're teaching them so many life skills then. You're teaching them how to shop, the cost of shopping, how to prepare, how to cook.
Exactly.
Right? If you know, I always told my son, if you know how to cook, you'll never starve a day in your life, right? And he is. Again, he spent a lot of time cooking with his mom, so he is quite the cook himself. Also on the go, you know, in addition to those great tips, and that is great, you know, take the kids shopping. I remember hating to go shopping with my father, but, you know, you learn a thing
or two.
But,
you know,
and
it's not just dragging them along and throwing them in a cart.
Make it fun.
Make it fun.
Yeah.
Have them, you know, have them pick out the brightest vegetable in the produce area. Have them pick out their favorite fruit and then make a dish with their favorite fruit. Make a dish with the vegetable that they picked out. Give them some ownership.
And can even read some recipes.
Exactly.
Teach them reading skills and math skills.
And have them pick out a recipe. They get to have recipe night. And that's the night where the family cooks together and everyone's together. So it works. You know, it doesn't happen every night. We're really busy.
Right.
But if you can pick that one night, either once a week or once a month, it still drives the point home.
What are some of the things that you would suggest, again, keeping with the theme of the family on the go and the family that's so busy? You just don't have time to even, you know, it's the in-between the meals, right? It's in between yes. lunch and dinner, in between dinner and bedtime. What would you say are some good snacks to carry them through?
There are some excellent snacks to carry the kids through, especially, you know, during the mid-morning time, you know, for your high schoolers who may have that slump, and instead of grabbing a donut or a candy bar they may have, you know, you send them to school with some nuts and nuts and raisins, and pair it with grapes. If they're home right after school before a game, they can have low-fat chocolate milk with a banana, have low-fat chocolate milk and string cheese, Greek yogurt, add nuts, add berries. That's going to give them something that's going to keep them feeling full, and it's going to help them. And if there's more fiber you have in the foods, the better off the kids are going to be. Apples paired with peanut butter or almond butter, you've got the fiber, you've got the salty, you've got the sweet, and that's going to satisfy them texture-wise as well as keeping them feeling full for prolonged periods of time to get them through that slump.
What are some of the other good meals? You just made me think of this. Speaking of staying full or feeling full, you know, you always hear this thing. I am going to generalize, right? You have Chinese food and you're hungry an hour later, right? I mean, you eat a huge amount of Chinese food and then you're starving an hour later.
Yeah.
What are some of the comfort foods that can hold you through without killing your diet?
You know what? A really good comfort food, and what I also used to give my daughter every time she had an AP test or something, a major test, oatmeal. If she had oatmeal in the morning, you pair it with some nuts, you pair it with some fruits, and put blueberries, strawberries, that protein carb combo is going to keep you feeling full and satisfied longer. And it's also a brain food as well too. It's
really?
A supernatural brain food.
Wow!
You have kids with fish like salmon, the omega-3 fatty acids, the vitamin D. That's also brain food. So you want to send your kids to school with brain food.
Yeah,
that's going to really help them stay alert,
especially during testing week, right?
Oh God.
Regents exams, people are freaking out. So brain food, you know,
yes.
I wouldn't have even thought of brain food, if you will. What do you do for the families that, and again, I'm personalizing and internalizing here. We don't eat a lot of seafood in my household. What are some of the other brain food choices that might not have those omega-3s and fatty acids?
Well, you just want to make sure that you're eating healthy when you're looking like that. The nuts, the seeds. You can have kids with sunflower seeds, walnuts.
Yeah.
You're looking for some of the greens, like I talked about earlier. If you put them in a scrambled egg, or if you put them in lasagna, you've got vitamin C, you've got folate, you got vitamin K. Some of your green leafy vegetables will give you more vitamin C than an orange. So it's important to just make sure that they have a variety of foods, good proteins, and chicken. You can have lean chicken, your lean
yeah.
meats. You know, you want to stay away from the processed foods.
Yeah.
Those processed foods and the processed meats are the ones, the nitrosamines. Those are the ones that you want to stay away from. But lean cuts of chicken, lean cuts of turkey. You can even have, instead of ground beef, have ground turkey. If you season it right.
Ground turkey with a little barbecue sauce is
you
not
never know.
Bad.
Exactly.
It makes a pretty good meatloaf. I've been on turkey meatloaf for years now. again, getting to the red meat thing and the other type of proteins, what are some of the other alternatives? And my grandmother used to have an expression, a little bit of everything is not bad for you. It's moderation is the key,
obviously. That's what I say. I said moderation and key. I mean, you know, I'm not one to turn down a piece of cake, but one thing, it's a portion control. So if you're going to have some food, have fun foods. It's not like we're not going to go out and have a drink, but men really shouldn't limit it to two drinks, and women limit it to one drink. If you're going to have a scoop of ice cream, have just that one scoop. You don't need the whole entire pint. You know, if you're
you don't need the Jim Dandy for
no. You don't need to keep going back for seconds. And that's the thing. Our plates that we've gotten over the years have gotten so much larger. The servings in the restaurants are so much larger.
Yeah.
We have portion distortion in America.
We do.
And that's the problem. And you know what?
If you go overseas, it's an entirely different size.
Oh, it's completely. If you go to a French restaurant, you actually come out feeling fine and not stuffed, because we're eating too much. And that's it.
I've often heard from a portion thing, right? And you can't weigh things out when you're out or about or whatever. What would be a good guide? I mean, somebody always told me for your protein or your meat, it shouldn't be bigger than the palm of your hand. What is something visually somebody could do?
Like a deck of cards. You know, we all have our cell phones, you know,
yep.
like the size of the size of the cell phone for your meat. Your pastas, like make a fist, you know, that should be as much pasta you should have, as much rice you should have. There's no limit on the vegetables.
Right.
So when you're going out, divide the plate in half. One half, strictly all vegetables. Just pile it up. And then the next half, that quarter, is going to be your protein, your lean protein. And the other one is going to be your starch.
So let's talk in the last couple of minutes here a little bit about colon rectal awareness and cancer with colonoscopies and such. You know, again, not so much for school-age children, but just general things that you should be aware of and dispelling some of the myths and some good preventive measures that any adult should be aware of.
Clearly, your diet is key. Avoid the high fatty foods, the nitrosamines, and I don't know if it's the word is out yet, but the American Cancer Society has decreased the age at which we should start getting screening colonoscopies.
Oh, goody. And that magic number for your birthday present should be now?
It is age 45.
Oh, wow.
And that's actually because we've been seeing cases in younger and younger adults.
Right.
So the 65 and older people have gotten the message to get their screening colonoscopies.
Right.
However, it's the younger adults that we're actually seeing a rise in colon cancers and more specifically rectal cancers. And I think it has to do with the fact that we have a sedentary lifestyle.
Yep.
We can order Uber Eats left and right. You know, we're not getting out there. We're not exercising. We're working long. We're just not eating.
That's another
right.
great family activity too. Is that exercising?
Yeah, exercise as a family.
Yeah,
tag. Go out and
what are some
basketball.
Of the myths that you would like to dispel when it comes to those type of cancers?
The most important thing is patients think they feel well. So since I feel well, I don't really need to have a colonoscopy.
Right.
And a colonoscopy is important because it's preventative.
Right.
You want to get it before you start having symptoms because then it may be too late. So if there's a polyp, you can remove the polyp before it becomes a cancer. If there is a cancer, you're going to be able to detect it at an earlier stage. Early detection, early cure.
Well, for more information, colon and rectal surgery of newyork.com. That's a long website address, or call 631-350-6277. Dr. Lynn O'Connor, we're going to have you back during the school season. We'll get some kids in here and we can have a little fun back and forth. Would you like that?
I'd love to.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us on Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio, streaming live on the web at linewsradio.com.